Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Oh, ahoy, mates. Welcome aboard another voyage of Pirate Money Radio, the show that sails against the storms of fiat tyranny, cultural confusion, and counterfeit ideas to chart a course toward liberty, security, and values built on biblical truth. I'm your captain, Kevin Freeman, author of Pirate Money, coming to you from the heart of Texas as we sail toward America's 250th birthday. And in this episode, we're diving deep and timely waters with a clear biblical view of equity versus equality, the importance of genuine patriotism, and how we can reclaim America as the sweet land of liberty. We've got an outstanding guest, but first let me bring on my favorite person in the world, first mate of my life, co-host today, the woman who keeps me grounded in faith and family values, the beautiful, wonderful Marnie Freeman.
Thank you. Thank you, sweetheart. I'm glad to be here, excited. And I've told you before that raising kids, particularly now with our crazy world we're mixed up in right now, that we need more wise stewardship of money, sharp, sharp biblical discernment, and especially on issues like equality, equity, justice, true patriotism, all those good things that our country is founded on. So I'm looking forward to talking about it.
Well, Marnie, we just had a beautiful wedding for our daughter, which was fabulous. We've raised a phenomenal daughter. We have now a new son brought into the family, yeah. I'm proud to say. And we have a very special guest as we're approaching the 250th birthday in America. It's time to rediscover biblical foundations that made this nation great and to push back against ideas that distort God's heart for justice and equality. Marnie, quick take. What do you think of a biblical understanding of equality versus equity? Why do you think that's important for families?
Well, I think it's important. GotLife.org says that organizations like Black Lives Matter often use equality and equity interchangeably, but those terms have distinct meanings, and the Bible addresses both. So the New Testament condemns favoritism and partiality, Ephesians 6:9, James 2:1 and 9. Paul urged Timothy to act without favoritism or bias, 1 Timothy 5:21. Scripture teaches that all people are equal in value, dignity, and worth, and because we are made in God's image, so Genesis 1:26 and 27. While the Bible recognizes differences among people, groups, gender, roles, and social classes, it affirms the intrinsic dignity of each person as a creation of God. I'm looking forward to the truth and boldness we're going to talk about.
Well, speaking of boldness, that is the bold word from my beautiful wife, who is the mother of our children, raised them, homeschooled them, and taught them with the Word of God. And speaking of bold voices who aren't afraid to call out counterfeits and stand unapologetically for truth, we have a very special guest sailing with us today. He's a Marine Corps veteran, an attorney, Harvard-educated attorney, pastor, author of the powerful book Sweet Land of Liberty, founder of STAND, which is Staying True to America's National Destiny, and the leader of the upcoming Truth Tour. Please welcome Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I feel like I ought to say ahoy, mates.
You should.
listen, thank you so much for having me. And by the way, and congratulations on having a new son in the family and a new marriage. That's wonderful.
Oh, we love him. We feel very blessed. Very blessed.
Yeah, he loves the Lord. His father was a communist, came to the Lord, and turned 180 degrees and is spreading the gospel now.
Yeah, he comes to America to do that also. He says we need it.
Well,
which is true.
Amen. Well, there's no better place still to do it in the United States of America. We just have to get the rest of our citizens to understand what a blessing they have to be born and to live legitimately in the United States.
Which is true, which is what you do. So thank you.
So Bishop Jackson, you've been a strong and consistent voice for biblical truth and American patriotism for many years. How do you see the current cultural battles over equity versus equality fitting into the bigger picture of preserving our Judeo-Christian heritage as we approach the 250th birthday?
Well, you know, Marnie, all those scriptures you quoted are true. There's another one that I often refer to, which is Proverbs 11:1, which says, "Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord." And whenever we use metrics like equity, in other words, we're trying to engineer results rather than treating people equally, we are using dishonest scales, and it's the same principle. You know, I just read a poll this morning, in direct reference to your question, Kevin. I just read a poll this morning that pointed out the chasm between people who are holding fast to biblical truth as an absolute standard by which we gauge behavior and attitudes and ideas, and people who have embraced a whole different set of values that they've just kind of made up. So, for example, those who believe that taking the life of an unborn baby is wrong, and those who believe overwhelmingly that there's nothing morally wrong with that. Those who believe that a man is born a woman, and they cannot change, and those who believe anybody can change into anything they want. So with regard to equality versus equity, it's the same thing. People have sort of made up their own standard in order to get the results that they want. And you know, the ultimate result people always want is self-justification. They want to be able to do their thing, sin, do whatever they want to do, and then justify it and say, this is great. By whose standards? By my own.
You know, that applies in so many different areas, one of which was something we saw in the news recently, Carmelo Anthony, who said, look, he shoved me, and then he stabbed him in the heart as a response. Yeah. I mean, you can't do that. And fortunately, for his sake, I praise God for the verdict for his sake, because he was told, this is wrong, you can't do it. He's been sent to prison for a number of years. That was not self-defense.
Yeah, he wept on that verdict. And my wife and I were talking about this, and she said, but you know, he didn't weep over killing Austin Metcalf. He didn't weep over having taken a life of a young man who had the whole world in front of him, just as he did before taking that action. So it's a little misplaced weeping. And I hope that during his time in prison, he really comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, repents of his sin, and really learns what it means to serve others rather than trying to harm others and hate others. Because I have a feeling this came out of a kind of deep hatred and resentment for other people, maybe racial, maybe not. But clearly, this man had a lot of anger in his heart to react that way, because somebody tried to legitimately move him out of the tent that he was not supposed to be in, to get him to go to the one he was supposed to be in. And his response was to kill that young man. I mean, it's tragic, but I hope that he does learn a lesson. He will get another chance at life if he behaves himself in prison, and I hope he makes the most of it.
And that, looking back from an eternal perspective, may be a blessing to him in this tragic circumstance where a life is lost, but it may be a blessing to him, because if we'd said, no, what you did was fine, you can go on, we respect your self-defense plea and all that, it might have tragically ended in eternal damnation. Now he has an opportunity for eternal salvation, because he can recognize that there is a biblical truth, there is a responsibility for our actions, and as a result, he may find Jesus through this, and that's what we should be praying. We should be praying for the family and the loss of life that happened, but we should also be praying for him and his future, because God still loves him.
Well, we pray for him because God will make all things work together, including this tragedy, I believe.
Yeah, so we can pray that he finds, this is an opportunity for, can you imagine the story 20 years from now where this young man, Carmelo, could come to Christ and then share the gospel and share the truth? This could be major, massive import for eternity, because he could bring others to Christ in prison. He could, you know, this is an opportunity for him, and this is a call for the church to pray. It's a biblical standard that we have to hold, not vengeance. Vengeance is God's, but justice. And that's what we're talking about. Hey, I need to mention there are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, spend it, or invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas that in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, it's a mobile phone company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room, Pirate Money Radio, and Patriot Mobile is available at PirateMoneyRadio.com/AFR. That's PirateMoneyRadio.com/AFR. Now, Bishop, we're talking about headlines, but one of the big headlines coming up is our 250th anniversary f- for our nation. What are you doing at Stand? We've got about 30 seconds left, and then we'll carry over to the next segment. What are you doing at Stand to celebrate America's birthday?
Well, the main thing we're doing is something I've created called the Truth Tour, Untold Facts About American History. And what I'm going to be doing is traveling around the country, telling stories about American history that I believe people have never heard, that will give them an objective, truthful understanding of our history rather than the polemic that Howard Zinn and others have given of why you ought to hate America.
Well, fantastic. I want to unpack that. I want to hear one or two of those stories when we come back from the break, because we're talking with the great Bishop E.W. Jackson, author of Sweet Land of Liberty. We'll cover this and more when we come back right after this break.
Every day across the globe, big business agendas go unseen by investors. Things that go against your core values and beliefs. It's time to know your investments. Abortion. Alternative lifestyles. Gender and identity confusion. If you believe in protecting marriage and life, children, innocence, guarding masculinity, restoring families, defending religious liberty, invest with your values. Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And I'm joined by Marnie Freeman. Marnie, Bishop Jackson just said that he's got stories he's going to take on a truth tour. Have you heard of the truth tour?
I have. I am so excited about all that they're doing, because these stories and these facts that they're uncovering, trust me, people have not heard about and they need to hear about.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the great Charlie Kirk, who would go out and bring truth to college campuses, and he'd say, hey, bring it, let's talk about it. Bishop Jackson, you've been through it all, whether the Marines, you go to Harvard, you grew up, you know, you were on a bad path, and your dad put you back on a better path. Tell us what you will be sharing on your truth tour. Give us a story.
Well, I'll just give you one. This is a pet peeve of mine, and one that I'm definitely going to cover, but there are a number of others. But, you know, it's popularly understood that the three-fifths clause of the Constitution defined black people as three-fifths of a person.
Right.
But the actual history says no such thing. That is the popular understanding, when in fact the three-fifths clause was a compromise over congressional representation. And the question was, how do we count enslaved people? Do we count the entire population, which meant that you would give the states that had the most slaves more congressional representation, or do we not count them at all, which the anti-slavery people thought was more appropriate, because after all, they can't vote, they're not treated as human beings, why should they be counted? It was the pro-slavery people who wanted them counted as a full person, and the anti-slavery people who didn't want them counted as a full person. And Charles Pinckney, one of the people who advocated counting this way, made a statement. He said, you know, why shouldn't they be counted? After all, it's the just thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Well, Charles Pinckney owned 100 slaves and was an avid pro-slavery person. And he was using that to just make the point, come on, if you really want to do the right thing, count them as a whole person. But actually, he was trying to strengthen the hand of slavery, not weaken it.
Yeah. Think about that, because they would have had greater representation in Congress by the slave-holding states, which would have perpetuated slavery, and that's bad. But yet, the same people who bring this three-fifths clause up don't seem to have a problem with, under Sharia law, that a woman has half the value of a man, right? So they're treating women, and there's no pro-freedom intention of the Sharia law counting a woman, her testimony is worth half that in court, her economic value is worth half of a man. You know, so people getting worked up over the three-fifths clause that's more than two centuries old, don't seem to have a problem with Sharia and the half value of a woman.
So they're believing that as constitutional? Are they believing that's in the...
No, the three-fifths clause, they're saying, hey, look how racist America was at its founding.
Gotcha. That's just crazy. Something about dishonest scales and oppressing the poor people and all that.
Well, and lying to people. You know, Jesus said, you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. That interpretation, which was imposed on that situation, and again, there was never any discussion about the value of a black person as somehow three-fifths of a human being. That never came into play. But people use that because they want people to hate America. They want to discredit America because they want to fundamentally transform America. And they think the way to do that is to prove to people America's never been right. It's never been legitimate. Look at this. But the whole thing is a lie.
Yeah, well, I will make this statement. Sharia is wrong, and treating women as a half value of a man is wrong. What the founders were doing was, to your point, Bishop, was right. They were trying to prevent the pro-slavery states from dominating Congress.
Right.
And that is truth that people don't understand, that you got to stop and wrap your head around that. How is saying three-fifths? Actually, the pro-freedom people said don't count any of those slaves to give them extra representation in Congress so that we can end slavery. And once it's ended, they should be 100% equal rights. That was the appropriate position of the righteous founders of this nation.
Well, you know, with regard to Sharia law, one of the things I've learned about a study of the Democrat Party, which if you all don't mind, I affectionately refer to them as the Democrat Party because I think they really have become a kind of demonic cult, is that the spirit of manipulating truth and facts in order to subjugate people and keep people in a subservient position, in a dependency position, is still operating.
You know, it is still operating. We're going to have to take a break. When we come back, I want to dive deeper into that, and I want to get into this. What's the difference between equity and equality? One's good, the other's bad. We'll be right back.
Gold holds its value far better than the US dollar. Let's see what happens when I go in this sweet shop and pay with gold. Can I pay with gold?
Find out how much it costs.
Do you know why I'm even using gold?
I do not.
It holds its value over time.
Yeah.
But it's a bit difficult to spend, isn't it? Do you take this?
Yes.
That's MasterCard. Yeah, but I'm actually going to pay with gold, believe it or not, using
really?
This. Using this. That's my MasterCard, and it's linked to my gold wallet. So let's just watch that. Authorizing. Yeah, add a tip.
Thank you.
So this is your store?
Yes, sir.
And how much gold did I pay?
0.2243 grams.
Yeah, success. Bought with gold, paid with glint.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
You know, Marnie, what I really appreciate about Bishop Jackson is he takes a biblical view. He's got a lawyer's training. He's got a lifetime of service to this country. And he has been involved in the church and led the church. But he understands the difference from a biblical viewpoint. And it's a biblical worldview. And so, Bishop, would you mind sharing with us the difference between what is equality, which is something we believe in, and what is this world's view of equity? And how are they different? They sound a lot alike. The words seem very similar, but they're not the same.
Well, look, I'll start with this statement. One, equality is based upon the fact that we are all made in the image and likeness of God and therefore equally loved by Him and seen as equal by Him. And the other, which is a rebellion against God, which says that, no, we're not going to acknowledge that we are all equal in the sight of God. we're going to create categories of people that we believe need to be treated differently on the basis of these ideas that people have come up with. I mean, you mentioned it, for example, how Islam has decided that women should not be treated as full human beings, as half the worth of a man. Well, we see that in many ways across our culture. We see, well, illegal aliens have to be given privileges that citizens aren't given, that people of certain minority groups have to be given privileges that people who are of European ancestry are not given, that people of certain sexual orientations have to be given treatment that would not be extended to other people. And it just goes across the board with promotions, with opportunities, with grants, we're seeing it, for example, in Minneapolis, where basically the government turned a blind eye to a Somali community that literally robbed the treasury, but they didn't do anything about it because, after all, they're Somalis, they're minorities, people will call us racist, we can't speak to this, just let it happen, and we've got control over them. When we need them, they'll be there to vote for us to keep us in office. So, I mean, equity is really evil in the way it's being used by the left.
You know, my daughter, to your point, said, okay, why do they get Pride Month? They get an entire month, and our veterans get one day, really. And so I thought that was hugely important. And so many of us see these programs labeled DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and being pushed into schools, corporations, and government. So from a biblical perspective, why is this approach so destructive to families, merit, and true justice?
Well, let me give you that by telling you a story. When I got ready to go to law school, I was graduating from University of Massachusetts, summa cum laude, Phi Beta Kappa. I went to three of my professors and told them I wanted to go to Harvard Law School. And they said, well, I'm serious. All three said the same thing. I would really stop and think about that. I said, well, why? They said, because Black people don't do well on standardized tests because they're culturally biased. So if I were you, I would lower my sights and I would try to get into a school where maybe they won't be so hard on your inability to do well in the test. Now think about that. They were assuming, because of the color of my skin, that I could not do well on the standardized test. Even though I was an A student in college, it wasn't enough. Being a Black person automatically meant that you couldn't do well on a standardized test. So don't even try to get into Harvard Law School. See, that's equity, because what they're saying is, do away with the test because these poor Black people can't do well on it, but we can test everybody else because they're okay.
And you don't have computers.
It's insidious.
You don't have computers, driver's license, things.
Yeah, you can't get a voter ID, an ID to vote.
The
level of racism on those that feel that they are compassionate is off the charts.
Yes. Well, and I took some of those standardized tests. We took some of those standardized tests, and I saw no bias in them. I saw math and reading and writing, all that.
Yeah, so. I can get where you could have bias in them, but the idea that you can't do math, you can't get a voter ID, you can't get into Harvard, that this is just evil. And what it's done is it's dumbed down our entire, it's Harrison Bergeron, dumbing down the entire society, and we're all poorer as a result from it. Well, Bishop Jackson, we're going to have to take another break. We've got a good long segment coming up, and I want to talk about your book, The Sweet Land of Liberty, The Reflections of a Patriot Descended from Slaves, and talk about the American dream, what it's been, and where we should be going if we accept a biblical worldview of truth. And that's really the issue. What do you think about the Bible? We'll be right back.
Some wireless companies say that they stand for something. What exactly do they stand for, and why won't they say it out loud? Let me tell you what Patriot Mobile stands for. They stand for the lives of the unborn. They stand for the Second Amendment and the right to protect yourself and your family. They stand for our veterans and first responders who sacrifice so much for our freedom. Make the switch to Patriot Mobile today and support a company that doesn't just say they stand for something, but one that stands for the things that matter the most.
Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Yeah, and I'm joined by Marnie. And Marnie, we're talking with the great Bishop E.W. Jackson, the author of Sweet Land of Liberty, the founder of STAND, Standing True for America's National Destiny. Bishop Jackson, tell us, we've gone through 250 years of America, and we hopefully will have 250 more. What's the secret ingredient we need to guarantee that we bring liberty, security, and values for future generations?
Well, our founding fathers established this nation on the principle that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by our Creator with inalienable rights, among these life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I believe that the key to another 250 years, if Jesus should tarry, is we've got to come back to the fundamental truth upon which this nation was founded. Because I say, when the founding fathers wrote those words, they were not only a legal justification for independence or even a political justification, they were also a spiritual and cultural marker about the kind of nation we would be. We would be a nation that believes that our ultimate accountability is to God, because He's the one who gives us liberty and He's the one who gives us rights. And therefore, our government must ultimately be accountable to God and to the people, since God gives the rights to the people, not to the government, and then the people delegate authority to the government to serve them, not to rule over them. I mean, it's so inspired. Every time I think about it, I get goosebumps, because it's nothing like it had ever existed before. And so we've got to come back to that if we're going to have another 250 years of prosperity in this country. You know, I say we stand between two poles. Psalm 9:17, which says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." You want to be a hellish nation? Forget God. And then Psalm 33:12, which says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." You want to be blessed? Make sure that you remember that our God is the Lord.
Amen. So what you're saying is that we cannot have this liberty, we can't have this future and hope without God. That's what you're saying. This nation, if we reject God, is on a path to destruction. But if we embrace God and embrace a biblical worldview, not a Christian worldview, I want to be very clear on that, because a lot of people define, what's a Christian worldview? A biblical worldview, then we have a future and a hope.
That's it. I mean, because look, America doesn't, we were designed to work only with God, because if our rights and liberties come from God and you reject God, well, then where do rights and liberty come from? Well, then they come from whoever's got the power to say who's got rights and who has liberty, and to take away that from whoever they have power over. So you're now looking at chaos. You're looking at, frankly, you're looking at civil war. So we've got to come back to the foundational principles and truths. John Adams said it, our Constitution was designed for a religious and moral people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. George Washington said that the twin pillars of religion and morality are absolutely indispensable supports for our government. And on it goes, of our founding fathers affirming how critical it is that America remain a godly and virtuous nation in order to enjoy the liberty that God intended for us.
And that's what he intended, speaking from the artist of liberty, because that's what God says. He provides liberty and freedom within his scripture, his word, his truth. That is the only truth, and it's immovable.
So America without God would be a miserable failure.
Right.
What would the world be without America having embraced God, Christian truth, in the Constitution, in the Declaration? Where would the world be if America had not risen, Bishop? What would the world be like?
You know, I don't even want to imagine. I mean, just consider a couple of things. One is that we have been absolutely the most prolific nation for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world of any nation that's ever existed in the 2,000 years since Christ went back to heaven. There's just no question about that. Number two, we have been the most charitable nation, not only as a government, but as individuals. Americans send more charity, not just to our country, but around the world than any other. In fact, my understanding is that Americans give more in charity than all the other nations of the world combined. So just on those two markers alone, what would the world be like were it not for America promoting the love of Jesus Christ around the world and America giving in the face of tragedy and hardship and starvation and all the things that these missionaries have done. A friend of mine, James Robinson, just passed away, but his ministry was creating wells in villages and in poor areas where people couldn't get clean water. I mean, so you can't even begin to measure what the world would be like if there weren't the United States of America, as opposed to the idea, by the way, I say, the left promotes this idea that, you know, the world was just a great place and along came America and messed everything up. It's just the opposite. America introduced to the world, England certainly played their part, introduced to the world the moral question of slavery. Question wasn't even a moral question up until the United States of America began to grapple with the issue.
You mentioned the British. I've got a book on the shelf behind me. It's titled A Trumpet Sounds for Britain, and it's a warning. It tells the history of God interacting with the British people and how God rescued them time and again through Dunkirk and through so many periods of history where God had his hand out. But when the people rejected God and they've begun to reject God and they've embraced, we talked about it in an earlier segment, they've embraced Islam in the United Kingdom, in London with mayor, and the tragic death of this once great empire, and they were an empire, is now they're becoming an irrelevant footnote in modern times of what's going on. If America goes down that same path, we have the same potential outcome.
I agree with you. And we have a lot of ministries and missionaries coming to America to save America because of what America has done for the world. Which is crazy, you think about that.
But you've got a truth tour, and
yes,
you're going to help reawaken the American spirit, particularly among young people. Tell us more about your truth tour and how people can follow that.
Well, they can go to our website, standamerica.us, standamerica.us, and they can sign up there to attend or to get more information about it. They can email us at truthtour@standinc.net. That's truthtour@standinc.net. Or they can just call my office, 757-375-6444. Our first two events will take place in South Carolina and North Carolina coming up on June 18th and 19th. The June 18th is a private event. The June 19th at Joy Church in Matthews, North Carolina. June 19th, happens to be Juneteenth, at 7 p.m. at Joy Church is going to take place too. And that's open to the public. So we'd love to have people come and participate. And there will be an opportunity for people to question and comment, because I know some of the things I'm going to say will definitely generate some controversy.
Well, one of the things I hope you'll carry on the Truth Tour is the truth of God's word about money. You know, we have an economic injustice because if you print excessive amounts of money, you create economic injustice. It causes young people to have difficulty in enjoying the American dream. And that's one of the things, you know, that we've been working on with transactional gold and silver. And support for this program comes from Glint. It's a financial technology service offering a debit card mobile app that enables users to access gold holdings for everyday purchases. With Glint, users maintain ownership of allocated physical gold, which is stored in a managed vault. At the time of a transaction, gold is sold in real time to cover the purchase amount in local currency. Glint offers an alternative way to store and use the value, combining gold and silver with modern payment infrastructure. Glint clients can monitor their gold balance, view transaction history, and manage their account through the Glint app, available on major mobile platforms. More details about how vaulted physical gold can be used as money are available at glintpay.com/gold247. Again, that's glintpay.com/gold247. Glint providing access to gold for modern spending. People don't realize you could buy a dollar's worth, $10, $100 worth of gold, and then if you need to access it as money, you can spend it with a debit card. And I think that brings some economic justice. I hope your truth tour will carry that reality that America's founders, in our founding, wanted gold and silver as money, not this paper money that we have today.
That's the only money that God mentions, gold, silver, and copper.
Amen.
There you go.
True money. One of the ways of keeping opportunity open for people is to have a system that actually allows them entry into the economy rather than keeps them out.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that we hope that you'll be bringing forth in the Truth Tour. You heard Bishop Jackson. If you hear this after, because this is pre-recorded, if you hear it after those events, go where to learn more about your Truth Tour?
Well, actually, they can invite me to come to their church organization. Email me at truthtour@standinc.net or call us at 757-375-6444.
All right, we're going to be covering this. We've got a couple more segments here on Pirate Money Radio with the great Bishop E.W. Jackson. We'll be talking about practical steps. How can you help save America for another 250 years? The only way to do it is with biblical truth. And Bishop Jackson is bringing truth on a tour across America in honor of our 250th birthday. So stay with us. We've got more with the great E.W. Jackson after this break. We'll be right back.
I'm outside Babe's, which I'm told is the quintessential chicken restaurant here in Roanoke, Texas. Let's go and see if we can buy the food in here, chicken with gold.
This is gonna be the fried chicken.
This is unbelievable. How am I gonna fit all this in? I seriously actually don't know how to begin with this. This is so overwhelming.
Do you think I can pay with gold?
I don't know, you may have to ask the cashier. I don't handle it.
Can I pay with gold? But actually, you said I could pay with this? Okay, I'm gonna pay with this, but I'm gonna pay with gold. So look at the price of gold going up. That's pretty cool, yeah? Right, this is Babe's, yeah? How much gold did I pay? Gold, how many grams?
0.26.
Quarter of a gram of gold. How about that?
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Success! Four with gold, paid with glint.
Some wireless companies say that they stand for something. What exactly do they stand for, and why won't they say it out loud? Let me tell you what Patriot Mobile stands for. They stand for the lives of the unborn. They stand for the Second Amendment and the right to protect yourself and your family. They stand for our veterans and first responders who sacrifice so much for our freedom. Make the switch to Patriot Mobile today and support a company that doesn't just say they stand for something, but one that stands for the things that matter the most.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
I'm joined by Marnie Freeman. Marnie, we're talking with the great Bishop E.W. Jackson. You know, I'm concerned about America's future, the 250th. If we return to biblical principles, if we get truth about the founding of this nation, then we have a great future. But if we continue to allow lies to be spread about what the founders intended and about what the Bible says, then our future is not going to be that great. What can families do, Marnie?
Well, I would actually defer that question to Bishop Jackson. So for the moms and dads listening, how can we raise children who understand true biblical justice and love their country without being swept up in, you know, like you said, the cultural lies and bringing truth, which he's going to partly do through Stand the Truth and Liberty Tour.
Bishop, what can families do?
Well, look, first of all, let's acknowledge, we have a crisis of family in America.
Yeah.
You know, people have said, for example, we just talked about Carmelo Anthony, and we don't quite understand where his father was in the mix of all of this. But what we do know is crime is running rampant in the inner cities of our country. You know, we have a program called America's Forgotten Children. We have chronicled 703 innocent children murdered in America since the Defund the Police movement began. 703. By the way, it slowed down under President Trump, but it's still going on. These children are being killed by young black guys, generally speaking, who will end up in prison or dead, who don't have a father in the home. So we have a crisis. In 1950, 87% of black children were born within a two-parent monogamous family in 1950. In 1950, most children, 97% of children born in America in 1950 were born to a two-parent married monogamous family. Those numbers have completely flipped. And the black community is now 72 to 80% born out of wedlock, depending on what city you're in. And for the overall population, it's now about 30 to 40%, again, depending on what segment you use, are born out of wedlock. So there is a growing crisis of children being raised by single-parent, female-headed households. And by the way, the prisons are filled with those people who are raised in these broken homes or in a home that often sends them into off to foster care or some institution. So what can we do? We've got to reemphasize the family as the central, most important institution in our culture. It's not government. It's not college. It's not the public schools. It is the family that is the most important institution. And then we've got to reaffirm the family as God designed it, not as the world wants to remake it with two men so-called married or two women so-called married or whatever permutation people come up with.
I just said goat and a peacock, Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, we've got to, by the way, I teach a class. In fact, I'm going to be teaching that class right after this program called Family Life to a bunch of kids in our school, Maximum Potential Christian Academy. And most of those kids have never grown up in a healthy, married family. So I'm teaching them a vision for what their lives should be. And I think that's part of it. How do you raise a child to have a healthy family when they've never experienced it? I mean, I think these are things that we've got to grapple with as a country and as a society if we want to turn the situation around.
You know, and you used the term Democrat before. I hate to admit it, but it was a Texan, Lyndon Johnson, who had this, oh, we're going to have a war on poverty, and we're going to pretend that we're embracing a love for equity. And how we're going to do that is he ripped families apart. He started giving money to families that didn't have a father in the home. And so fathers we were literally funding fatherless households on purpose in the name of compassion. But the reality was in the name of getting votes for the Democratic Party. And that's just evil. It's destroyed our family. And not you could be a Democrat listener. It's not you that's the problem. It's the Democrats that are willing to reject the truth of God's word for political power and for money. They're the Democrats. And Republicans aren't guiltless in this. Republicans have caused as many problems in this. We've got to return to biblical principles. Politics will not solve this problem. Right, Bishop?
Amen. And look, you could look 1965, Great Society program starts, and you watch the family start to crater. Right. I mean, you could put a pin in it. So yeah, this is a man-made problem that we've got, and we got to turn back to the God who gave us family to solve it.
Well, we can turn back to God. That's what American Family Radio and Pirate Money Radio is all about, is returning to God's principles so that we can enjoy liberty, security, and values. We've got one more segment with Bishop E.W. Jackson. Come right back after this break.
Washington said paper money opens the door to every species of fraud and injustice. Jefferson said paper is poverty. Hamilton said to emit an unfunded paper as the sign of value ought not to continue a formal part of the Constitution. The founders hated paper money, so they put a pirate money clause in the Constitution for our state to use. Learn more at transactionalgold.com.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Right, and I'm joined by Marnie Freeman. We're always wanting to talk hope and future. We know we have problems, and man, 1965, that's an interesting time that you picked. That was when the Great Society began. We could have guns and butter. That's when that's literally what forced us off of sound money, was spending under the Johnson administration. Nixon saw that it was an untenable situation, and so he had to end gold backing for a dollar. But it really started with Johnson, who we had 40% backing of the dollars, Federal Reserve printed money, and 40% of every dollar they printed, 40 cents worth of gold, had to be held on reserve. Johnson took it down to 25%, and then Nixon found it untenable and took us completely off.
Took it all away.
Because we were spending too much money on the Vietnam War and too much money on our Great Society programs. What we literally said was, we can spend our way out of this problem with man-made money. He walked away from biblical truth. I think that's the real issue. And so what kind of hope do we have, Bishop, when we're going down this path? Is there a hope? Is there a way back?
Well, look, it's going to take you and Marnie and me and all the people that we know and even a lot of people that we don't, praying together, working together, and asking God to help us put our country back on the right path. I mean, you know what's going on in Virginia right now. I mean, we have gone way off the beaten path. We've got radicals running our country, our attorney general, running our Commonwealth. Our attorney general is a guy who fantasized in writing about killing his opponent and watching his children die in their mother's arms. I mean, and he's the attorney general of the Commonwealth of Virginia. So we've got serious problems. But, you know, is there anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
I've told people, we're going to turn Virginia around. You watch. And we're going to turn this country around. I'm convinced of it, Kevin and Marnie. We've just got to stay the course, keep faith in God, and just keep the vision before us of what we know God wants. The Bible says in the book of Habakkuk, write the vision and make it plain upon tablets, and he who reads it may run, for the vision will surely come to pass. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come to pass. And I believe that that's true for our country. God didn't give us this country to lose it to the devil.
No, he did not. And you're carrying truth. I think that's the key issue. They shall know the truth, and the truth shall set them free. And you're carrying truth, which is amazing to me that things that we grew up understanding and knowing that were taught in schools and everything else that have been just forgotten or lied about, like the three-fist compromise that you talked about. People have twisted things so much, but you're bringing the truth of the gospel and also the truth of our nation.
And the separation of church and state. And I mean, there's a lot of history that has been manipulated, twisted.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's another myth, for sure.
Yeah. You know? Yes, exactly.
There are lots of them.
You know,
Howard Zinn's People's History of the United States of America is one of the worst things that ever happened to this country, and it's still being used in schools today.
Yes.
Well, are you going to write a book? Here's the truth. Something about the truth that when you do this tour, take every question you can possibly take, answer them, and then compile them. I think that would be a great book. I would love to read.
That would be an incredible book. Oh my gosh, that would be so fun.
I think there's a book in this tour, and I've been thinking and praying about that. So you believe me, we are on the same track.
I think it's been fun linking arms with Bishop Jackson, an honor. He's so fun. I just enjoy him and listening to him and seeing his work in discipling, mentoring, getting young men and women in the right direction.
You know, I'll be at events, and Bishop Jackson, you know it's the case. So many of our mutual friends say when you want a great prayer, let Bishop Jackson pray it. And you just have such a powerful voice in prayer, and your preaching is so amazing. Where do people follow you? Where can they get more of your preaching and teaching?
Well, thank you so much, Kevin. They can go to standamerica.us, sign up for our email list. If they want to know more about the Truth Tour, bring me to speak to their church or organization, they can go email us at truthtour@standinc.net or call us at 757-375-6444.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. All right, this is the real wrap up for the Real Life Network. Thank you, Marnie, for sailing with us today. Thank you, Bishop Jackson, for being with us. Visit piratemoneyradio.com for more. For those watching on Real Life Network, we'll see you next time. Stay faithful, stay free. For those on AFR or our podcast, stay tuned. We have one final wrap-up with the great Bishop E.W. Jackson. Here's a $10 bill. It's got the picture of Alexander Hamilton on the front of it. You know, it's kind of sad. When I was 10 years old, everything that I could buy for a dollar now costs about $10. That's the cost of inflation. It's just paper. It's not backed by anything. You can't exchange it for gold and silver. You used to, but you can't do that anymore. And that's unfortunate. You know, pirates wouldn't accept this. Pirates, they wanted gold and silver. Patriots, the founders of this nation, also wanted gold and silver coin. In fact, they put a provision in the Constitution, 17 words, that said states could only make gold and silver coins tender within the states. That's why I wrote this new book, Pirate Money, Discovering the Founders' Hidden Plan for Economic Justice and Defeating the Great Reset. It will explain exactly the history of money and exactly why gold and silver coins can be made modern with new technology and a useful monetary system. PirateMoneyBook.com.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Bishop Jackson, you're our guest here. You've seen a lot in this nation, the good, the challenges, and the hope. What gives you the greatest hope for America right now?
Seeing all the young people on college campuses across this country, Turning Point USA, seeing that and seeing people who I know have been on the sidelines awaken and say, you know what? I did not want to get involved in this, but I've got to say something. I've got to do something. Every time somebody awakens, it gives me great hope. Every time somebody comes to me and says, you know, I never thought about that until I know that's not me. It's the Holy Spirit awakening people. And I think that's happening all over the country. You know, Andrew Womack says he believes we're in an awakening right now. And I agree. I see the signs of it. We just need it to spread and grow and envelop this entire nation.
You know that Great Awakening movie, which, Marnie, you and I saw
a
couple of weeks ago. It was amazing.
It was amazing. People
it
should go
My
see
it. My wife
and
I watched it, too.
It's still out.
Yeah, they should. We watched it. It's a wonderful movie.
Well, and the great scientific thinker of his day, Ben Franklin, who was, you know, not really wanting God in his life very much. He rejected his father's preaching and all of that. By the end of his life, he knew that without God, this nation does not succeed. And he, the deist, is the one who demanded that the Constitution, the convention, that they incorporate God. And that, I think, is what gave us the miracle of America.
Amen.
It's a lot.
He said, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. He said, I believe this. So,
amen.
I'll take Ben Franklin's questionable Christianity over the so-called Christianity of a lot of people I've met in this day and age.
It's true.
But it was that awakening. It was the preaching of God's word, a great orator. And Bishop Jackson, you're a great orator. You know, everybody, have you heard him preach? I love it when you preach.
That's why I keep saying amen, because I was just...
And you've gotten just a slight taste of it here on Pirate Money Radio today, but you've got to follow him. You've got to go to standamerica.us, and you've got to listen. I've been on your live streams. I've been on your weekly podcast broadcasts, and it's just phenomenal to hear the voice that you bring to the truth of God's word. So I want to thank you so much for all that you're doing for America, the life of service that you're giving, you've given and are giving still for this great land. I'm so appreciative of all that you're doing.
Well, of course, Kevin and Marty, the same thing can be said of you all. And I'm grateful to God to call you all my friends and fellow laborers in the vineyard.
Well, thank you. All right. If you got questions, if you got prayer needs, if you got comments, you need to email us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. And we need to be praying. Pray for America to return to God's principles in 2026. That's where we've gotten off track, is we've gone away from God's principles. Good news, God welcomes us back. We can return, and we can pray for a spirit of patriotism rooted in biblical truth. Pray for unity in the church and for our veterans to be healed in every way. Pray for young people to come to know Jesus and to come and be awakened with truth. Listen wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, and so forth. Share this with your friends. Check out piratemoneyradio.com and learn more about Bishop Jackson's Stand and Truth Tour. This is Kevin and Marnie Freeman, joined this week by Bishop E.W. Jackson for Pirate Money Radio.
Arrgh!